Coming up, why you should be prepared to quit at all times. And then companies are stealing employees and a CEO who bans political talk at work. And you know we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Here we go, helping you win at work and life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you have joined us. I want you to be prepared to quit at all times. Be prepared. When I was growing up, that was the be prepared, be prepared. I think it was like a Boy Scout thing, as I recall. I never got into the Boy Scouts. I'm never a scout type, right? Cub Scouts, whatever. Be prepared, be prepared. Like, it was always a positive message that I remember coming across the television in Saturday morning cartoons. All right. So I'm a child of the late 70s and 80s. And be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. And boy, isn't it good to be prepared. I mean, this is good advice. I mean, if you just looked at anybody at any time, any demographic, anything, and you just said, I think it's wise to be prepared, somebody's going to go, oh, that's pretty good advice. That's pretty good advice. You know? So we're going to take another slant on that today. Because I think this more and more recently, we need to be prepared to quit at all times. Now, some of you are going, whoa, Ken. Is this a big pivot for you? What are you talking about? Where are you going? Stay tuned. I have to fly a good amount for my job because I travel and I speak around the country. And by the way, if you ever want me to speak for your organization, KenColeman.com, reach out to us. We'll see if we can do it. But I'm flying out this week. Okay? Got several trips as we get back into live events here at Ramsey Solutions. And when you get on the flight, before you take off, the flight attendants always do several things. But one of the things they do is they point out the exits. And they say something to the effect of, in the event of an emergency, please be aware of your exits. And they do one of these numbers here. They do the cool finger thing. I never can do it right, but it's very nice. It looks very nice. They know what they're doing. It's like, oh, yes, sir. We have exits here, front of the plane, back of the plane, blah, blah. All right. So they tell you, if something bad were to happen, here's where the exits are. So this is the metaphor for today. You do realize that something bad could happen at any point in your work. Could be the company has a massive financial problem due to bad leadership, a failure of a product, a service. Something crazy could happen, like an Enron, something illegal, something sketchy, whatever. You could have this thing like, you know, I don't know, a pandemic. And due to factors that are out of your control, you'll need to exit. So if it's possible that something could go wrong, like they tell us on the plane, I mean, nobody gets on the plane going, there's a high chance that we're going to crash today, but we all understand why they tell us, if something were to happen, here are your exits. And so that's what I think we as professionals who are on purpose need to be aware of. Always on the look for an exit. Now, it doesn't mean that we aren't engaged. Okay? Well, I'm not preaching that you need to have one foot in and one foot out. No, I want you engaged. What I'm saying is that you are prepared for a storm. If a tornado, we get tornadoes all the time, tornado warnings all the time here, right? Well, what are you going to do? What's your plan? You got one of those apps that'll wake you up, right? Where are you going to take the family? What are you going to do? What's our exit? What's our plan? And so even if you're happy, listen to me, even if you're very happy and fulfilled, you need to have an exit strategy. If something goes wrong, what's my exit strategy? But here's the reality. A lot of people don't think this way. You aren't prepared for the worst case scenario. You're not. And at Ramsey Solutions, we're known for teaching about finances and the seven baby steps to financial peace includes what we call an emergency fund. In fact, there's two steps in the seven baby steps that involve emergency. The first one is the $1,000 emergency fund for your garden variety emergencies. And then once you pay off all your debt, baby step three is 3 to 6 months of your expenses in an emergency fund. Why? in case something like we're talking about happens, right? And we're out of work and we are in a full alarm emergency. So we talk about this financially. So professionally, we need to apply this as well. Because there are times where bad things are going to happen in your company and you need to exit, or you've already been told to exit. Hello, that's not fun. Millions of people got laid off or furloughed in the pandemic. So if you're not prepared for an exit, even when times are smooth, when something bad happens, when the storm comes along, instead of being shaken to your core, it's an inconvenience. See the difference? I want it to be an inconvenience, like, oh, crap, this sucks. But you know what? We got a plan. Go get the flashlights. Get the candles, kids. The power's out. It's going to be okay. It's an inconvenience. It's not earth-shattering. And for so many people, it's earth-shattering when a forced exit happens, whether you are fired or you realize this ship is sinking. I got to get off the ship. So I want to give you three ways to be prepared. Okay? Think of this as Ken's Be Prepared Guide, right? What happens if you got a situation on your hands where you're either being forced to exit or you know that the best thing to do is to exit? You got to be prepared for it. So how do we create that Be Prepared kit? Number one, always be evaluating your pay. What is the market value for your salary or for your hourly rate based on your zip code, your experience, obviously the work you're doing, skill sets, education, certifications, all that stuff? What is your current pay? You need to be aware of that at all times. What is the market range for your pay? Number two, make sure your resume is always polished and ready to go. One way to do that is to use the free resume guide at kencoleman.com. This is a free resource. Hundreds of thousands of people have downloaded it. It's a template. You get one free template with the guide, but we sell you, I think, six templates for I think, $9.99 at the store at kencoleman.com. But here's the deal. You got these templates, and you've always got your information in it ready to go, and you need a quick tweak, boom, 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 and we're ready to go. Number three, always be developing, always be maintaining good relationships. Connections are the keys that open up opportunities in life. So just like the airplane flight attendants going, if something were to happen, here's our exits, here, 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 and here. You're kind of going, hey, where are my relationships? Here, 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 and here. To where if I had to exit, I've got relationships. I call people and go, you're not going to believe what happened today. And they go, all right, man, I'm sorry. Hey, I know somebody over here. I'll make a connection here. I'll put the word out over here. This is the idea. And why do we need to be prepared? I told you about the problem is we're not prepared. The solution is in those three areas, you're always prepared. You're always looking, even though you're happy. You're looking, oh, this is a nice opportunity. This is a nice opportunity. By the way, you're not going to have to look as hard anymore because you're getting recruited like crazy. We'll talk about that later in the show. What's the reason for being prepared? When the unexpected happens, you want this to not be a real, true emergency. It's an annoyance, not a earth-shattering emergency. That's why we're prepared for an exit at all times. How many of you out there want to get into sales, or how many of you are in sales, but you feel like maybe you need a little bit more? You need a little bit more training. You need some more skill set to not just win, but to stand out. Sales is it's such a wonderful profession for people who love to work with people. Because if you're in sales, you are always solving a problem in the form of a product or a service. And if that's you, I'm excited to tell you that we've got a sales crash course coming from our big shot sales guy, Senior Vice President of Sales, Chris Campbell from Ramsey Solutions, and myself. We've teamed up to bring you a sales crash course. Every Thursday night in May, we're going to host a free crash course to help you boost your career skills in this area of sales. So on Thursday, May the 5th, the first one is up. And if you're in sales and you want to get into sales, you need to check it out. Chris will be joining me, and we're going to give you practical teaching to jumpstart your career in sales. To sign up, go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. That's RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. It's going to be a lot of fun. We filmed it recently, and it was high energy. It's going to really help a lot of people out. It's free. I don't know why you wouldn't sign up for it if you're interested. I'm not selling you anything. So go RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. All right, let's get to a couple really interesting stories that affect you, the people. I am a man of the people. I'm here for you to inform you, to equip you, to inspire you. Let's go. All right, first story. This is really interesting. Business Insider is our source, and they did a profile on Jason Fried, I believe is how you say his name. Now, it's spelled fried. So I went ahead and changed that. I should have done some research, but it's spelled fried. But I know if that's how my name was spelled, I'd change it to Fried. So I don't know if it's fried or Fried. Does anybody know in there? Nobody knows. All right. So he's the CEO of a software company. Basecamp is the name of it. And he co-authored a book, Rework. This guy's fascinating. So in April 2021, he announced that Basecamp, this is the company, would not make public comments on social issues and barred employees from speaking out about them in company forums. Now, I just taught on this the other day about how companies are getting too political. Was it yesterday? It was yesterday. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, man. I'm just trying to make it to the next hour. All right? I forget everything. So I was talking about how companies are getting too political. Their staff is too political. And then CEOs are feeling like they've got to respond to this stuff. And they're not focused on profits. Well, this guy gets it. Within hours of announcing this, he basically said, look, if you're an employee of this company, I don't want you talking around the water cooler about politics, Trump, Biden, the Kardashians, so, you know, whatever, who knows. So let's not talk about it. We're going to talk about work, real life stuff. So, of course, watch what happens. He announces this on a public post, and multiple employees went on Twitter. Of course they did. Twitter is the land of the snowflakes, the easily offended and courageous keyboard warriors. That's where they live. At least 20 people, more than one-third of their roughly 60 employees at the time, quit. They said, we're going to take the severance packages. Now, this is what's great about this dude. This guy says, look, we're not going to talk about this stuff. We're not going to talk about politics and social issues like abortion or gay marriage. You take anything that's like a hot button. He's like, look, we're not going to talk about it because it's divisive. Some of you people just got offended when I said the words. I didn't even tell you what I believe about them. I just said them. You're like, I'm offended. This stuff is nuclear, man. And he knows it, and he's right. And so he said, it doesn't matter what you believe on those issues. We're here to work and focus on this solution. And so he said, if you don't like these rules, I understand. We'll give you a nice severance. That's leadership, by the way. That's a leader who's going, it's not my way or the highway. It's, hey, here's how we're going to do work. And I get it if you don't like it. And I'm going to honor your convictions and your beliefs, and I'm going to give you a nice severance. That's leadership. So anyway, so they lose one-third of their employee group. One-third leave over this deal. But he goes ahead with it. Now, business he got hammered on social media. Of course he did. All the snowflakes are brave behind a keyboard. And business consultants who specialize in diversity and equity and inclusion, oh, they issued harsh words as well, like these idiots. They don't even know how to run a company. They're consultants. Despite growing research and CEO commentary on the importance of all this stuff, he just disagreed, said, we're not going to do it. Then he also made headlines for promoting the benefits of his four-day work week in the summer when employees work only 32 hours a week. So anyway, Business Insider interviews him, and I'm going to call out a couple of his comments. They said, why didn't they make the four-day work week permanent? Because they reported that it was great for company culture. And he said, you know, when you're growing up, you have seasons. You go to school, and then you have summer break, and then you go back to school in the fall. And he goes, we wanted to experiment with that kind of seasonal rhythm in real life work. And it worked out so well. He said, we're just going to keep doing it. We're not going to change it. It's working. And he said, now we got a little bit less done in the summer because we're talking about 4 days, 32 hours. He said, but that was fine. It was worth it because our aim is not to do as much as we possibly can as a company. It's to do as much as we can to sustain our excellence over the long term. Really smart. He said, what we found is that people just enjoy it more when it's special, meaning when it's a summer-only schedule, they really enjoyed it more, and they come back Labor Day ready to go. And he said, it just worked. He said, we didn't get as much stuff done. That was the only negative, but the reality is, long-term, it's great. People have come back. And what about the no political talk? How did that hurt him? Well, it hurt him initially, but the fact is, new people came in and they like it. So what he said was, this is how we're going to be, and this is why we're going to be, and it will attract some people, it will repel others. But keep in mind, it's not about repelling, it's about attracting people who go, I kind of dig that. I don't want to sit at my desk and feel like I got to defend what I believe because somebody's forcing a conversation on me. Now, here's what he said specifically about the, we're not going to talk about social issues and politics in the office. He said, I can appreciate why some people don't feel like it's not where they want to be, but we also had a lot of people who stayed. He said, people don't want to get into debates. They just want to focus on work. So this is a place where you can do that. We don't take positions on things politically as a company unless they directly affect us and our ability to do business. So what he said was, this is who we are, why we are. If you don't like it, cool. We're going to treat you with respect. Move on. All right. Next story. Hey, leaders, pay attention to this because even your best employees, committed employees, loyal employees are probably getting recruited. If they haven't been recruited recently, they're going to be recruited soon. Why? This is a part of the Great Resignation where people, companies are doing anything they can to get talent in the door. So remote work has changed the game. Remote work has made recruiting more ubiquitous, like everywhere, because companies are going, I would never recruit this person before because they lived in Northern California and we're in Georgia. But now that we're remote, this is a rock star who can stay in Northern California, do their life out there, and crush it for us in Georgia. That's why this has exploded, okay? I'm just giving you the behind the scenes. So no employees now are off the market. Gallup did some research on this, and here's what they found. 1 in 4 U.S. employees say they've been recruited in the past 3 months. 1 in 10 employees say they've been recruited in the past 3 months, even though they weren't actively looking for a new job. That's a 57% jump since 2015. So there's some data there just to go, this is really happening. Alex, will you tell me if you've been recruited, please? All right, kid. All right, so what did they find from the research? Real quick, there's one of two things that happen when employees are recruited. Leaders, you need to know this. The first one is very obvious. I think both are obvious. The first one is they either take the job, or if they don't, they'll stay, but new perceptions about compensation, growth, benefits, everything. Once they've been flirted with, now they go, huh, I want to be flirted with by my actual boyfriend or girlfriend. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Apparently, the YouTube live viewers that are in the chat room, this is a rowdy bunch. These are the YouTube crazies, and I love you. I love you people. They're always commenting on my clothes, apparently. And so today, I guess they're calling this the lumberjack shirt. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I love these folks, and they're very, very... I really do love the people that are in live every day. I mean, they're just awesome, very kind, and they affirm me and all these things. I got to tell you, people, you're the only people in the world that would ever use me and the word lumberjack in the same sentence. I mean, you want to talk about off-brand, it's lumberjack and me, all right? All right, very good. So there you go. Today's shirt brought to you by, I believe it's J. Crew, as a matter of fact. Back to the phones in just a moment. But first, we were talking today in a content meeting. This great resignation where people are just moving on all the time, it's not slowing down. And it's because we're in this crazy job market. Alex, the producer, and I were talking with our team about we have this crazy reality that's not going to go anywhere anytime soon where we have more jobs that have been created due to entrepreneurship. The pandemic spawned all new types of jobs as a result of things like healthcare being overwhelmed, remote work becoming a reality. And so you've got more jobs open, meaning we're hiring, than you have people that are unemployed by about 2 million. So companies are just doing anything and everything they can to get people. And as a result, they're paying more. But companies are also still using artificial intelligence, and it makes the hiring process hard. So I hear this all the time. Ken, you keep talking about how hot the market is, but it's really frustrating to get hired. You should not have a problem getting hired. In fact, you're not having an issue with not getting hired. Let me tell you what you're having. You're not getting noticed. Because the artificial intelligence software, you're applying. You think, oh, I'm being productive, but I'm not getting noticed. That's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. See, ZipRecruiter has companies that pay them to find talent like you, and they take your profile, your resume that you fill out in just minutes at ZipRecruiter.com. And then what they do is they match you up to job openings that they have. And so they're communicating directly with the companies going, hey, have you thought about this guy, this gal, this gal, this guy? And so they're getting you invitations sent directly to you for interviews. Oh, it's easy. It's beautiful. And you're doing your life, by the way. Secondly, not only are they matching you up to profiles, they're pitching you to companies that are looking for things. So they match companies and you up naturally, organically with their AI, artificial intelligence, and then they're actively pitching you. So why wouldn't you do this? It's the best way to get hired. It's easy and it's free. ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. All right, back to the phones. Bruce is on the line in Atlanta, Georgia. Bruce, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Ken? Thanks for taking the call.
You bet. How can I help?
Yeah, so I started this job about a year ago. About 6 months in, I raised my hand and told them things are getting crazy. We need to hire more people. And it's been almost a year since I raised my hand, and they've let people go. People have quit. I've got tons of projects and just not enough time to do it all. So I'm trying to decide, should I stay here while I'm learning how to program and then eventually move on to programming, or should I be trying to find something else right now?
And you, when you say you raised your hand, what'd that look and sound like?
Well, I sent an email out to the owner of the company and other leadership and told them we need to hire more people ASAP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that was a year ago, as I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is keeping you from walking into your leader's office today going, look, I'm doing everything you've asked me to do. You're probably unaware of this. I'm assuming you're unaware of this, but I'm going to burn out if I don't get some help or I don't get some of this delegated to somebody else. I mean, what's keeping you from doing that? Why is that not on your schedule today?
I've talked to the owner and my manager multiple times about it, and they're just saying that they can't find anybody. They're not able to hire.
Okay. So that was new information. I thought this was just the email only a year ago.
Oh, no.
Okay, so there's your answer. They've told you as recently as when? When was the last time they told you, we can't find anybody, we want... And when they say they can't find anybody, does that mean they're looking and as soon as they find somebody, they're going to put the help in and then things are going to be chilled? Is that the impression you're getting? Or do you just feel like they're hopeless, helpless, and they realize you're doing it, and if you leave, they're just not that worried about it?
They seem just helpless right now.
What happens if you resign today? How do you think they'd react?
They'd be very upset. They'd probably try and offer me more money.
So I think you have leverage is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I've got tons of leverage.
Okay, so you know how we get leverage?
How's that?
We go find another gig and we get an offer. Because right now you can't leave. You can't have an interruption of income, correct?
Correct.
But if you said to them, guys, you gotta hire somebody or I'm going to have to start looking. What are they going to do? You think they're going to fire you?
It's possible that they would.
Well, I don't think so. You just told me if you resign today, you've told them multiple times, guys, I'm burning out. We need help. And they go, we can't find it. And you said if you left today, they'd be mad and they would try to keep you. Right?
Right.
So why would they fire you if you told them, guys, I understand you may not be able to do anything about it, but I'm just being a nice guy by saying, I can't keep this up.
I say that just because I've seen them let multiple people go that have brought similar arguments. And this company is kind of a company that likes to shoot themselves in the foot.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
They're idiots.
Yeah.
They're idiots. Let's just be honest. So we're looking today. Full-time job. Full-time job. Every spare moment. You're not going to steal from these people. So you're not doing it at work. Lunch hour. At night, you are getting yourself out there. You're getting yourself out there. And you're still training. So we go find another day job that does not overwhelm you like this one does while you're continuing your programming training. Eventually you get into programming, but there's no need to stay here and put up with this crap.
Yeah.
Why would you suffer through it when you don't have to? You could go get another day job. And then when you leave to go to programming, it's not going to be like, oh, Bruce is a job hopper. No. Bruce went to this other company during the Great Resignation, got himself a better job, and then he was programming, then he went to programming. Oh, this Bruce is a go-getter. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's absolutely no negative from you leaving this place and going to another place. It's healthier until you get the programming job. So that's what I'm doing. I'm staying there until I find another place that's healthier and allows me, it's a bridge. It's a bridge to programming.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get better where you are. You know it and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry you're dealing with this. But the quicker you get resolved to go, all right, I'm going to do a good job while I'm here, but I'm going to find something else. I've tried. I raised my hand over and over and over, and it's not changing. So you should sleep well at night. Very well. You should sleep well the night that you leave. In fact, you should sleep like a baby, right?
Indeed.
That's my man now. Come on. Give yourself permission to take care of yourself, to give yourself permission to make the right moves for your future. They've had their chance. Maybe they'll learn a lesson when you walk, but you're out of there and soon. All right.
All right. I appreciate it, Ken.
Yeah, man. Folks, listen, life is too short to work in a dead end situation. Hey, let me throw that another way. Life is too short to stay in a dead-end relationship. Now, I am a man of marriage. I believe in marriage. So I'm not talking about just walking out and divorcing. Now, you fight for your marriage. But I'm saying if you're in a dating relationship, an unhealthy relationship where it's just not going anywhere, you want that guy to put a ring on it and he ain't doing it, and you've asked him and told him about 15 times, I got news for you, ladies. He ain't going to put a ring on it. Walk! Little life advice. On top of everything else, you matter, you have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.